Wiener.
You guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Gonna be doing things a little different this week. Instead of jumping around like a bunch of jackasses, we're gonna focus primarily on the premiere of Game of Thrones. And much like Doc Brown didn't want to know shit about Martin McFly when he came to his house, I didn't ask any questions from Justin and Randy because I don't want to know what they thought about the episode before we started, so that I can either agree with them or tell them they're total fucking idiots because they disagree with me. So, Randy, Justin, how the hell are you guys doing today?
Fabulous, thank you.
I'm fantastic, but I happen to like jumping around like a jackass.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. No, but that's we'll jump around like assholes, you know, every other show. But this week, you know, Game of Thrones is a pretty huge event, and you know, it's everyone's got their polarizing opinions on, you know, like, dislike, what they like. They like old lady titties at the end. You know, everyone's got their own thing. So I thought maybe we would just kind of give an overall summary of our thoughts real quick, and then maybe just take it, you know, location by location. I thought maybe that would be an easy way to break it down. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Sweet. Why don't we start with you, Randy? Because you usually come at it from a fun angle. What are just your general thoughts of the episode? We don't need to go point by point, but just kind of like your feeling, how you felt going into the episode, how you felt leaving the episode, and whatever else you want to add.
It felt like a basically kind of like an hour long recap episode, just showing us where everybody ended up at the end of last season.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like a whole lot of new stuff happened. And to me, I like big, strong, bold season openers, like the beginning of season 4 where Joffrey died. I would have liked to have seen a main character eat it this time. But
right.
I mean,
well, Joffrey didn't die in the premiere, though.
He died in the second episode.
Yeah.
Oh, the second episode? Yeah, close enough.
Game of Thrones is pretty notorious for every one of their premieres is usually pretty slow. Like, kind of like, these are the characters, this is the journey.
Overall, definitely enjoyed it. I don't think it was a bad episode. So, well, that's all I got to say about that for now.
Okay, Justin, what was your overall thoughts as someone who, you know, like me, you read the books, and supposedly we were going to go into it not knowing anything, even though a lot of the book stuff crept into this premiere. But what did you think of the first episode?
It was all right. I agree with Randy. It was a lot of just reminding everybody where everyone's at. I do think it's funny that Benioff and D.B. Weiss said that they have about 13 episodes left and that they want to stretch it out by two more seasons, possibly. And I'm thinking to myself the entire time, they could have cut this, they could have cut that, they could have cut this, they could have cut that. So, I mean, I was on a cutting board. I just wanted to chop everything up. But overall, I thought it was okay, but, I mean, it just seemed like a filler episode. And I don't think we need filler anymore. I think we want results. And my favorite scene, if I'm allowed to say, would probably be at the very beginning when Ramsay was talking about the kennel master's daughter, and you thought that he, you know, genuinely had feelings for this woman, and perhaps he was in love. And then he's like, "Well, should we build a pyre, or do you want a barrier? What do you want to do?" He's like, "Ah, she's good meat. Feed her to the dogs." I'm like, "What the fuck?"
It's like, how dare you make me think that maybe you don't suck?
Yeah, I mean, D is a downright horrible person, but yeah, that was just a. He's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing, except he's two Hydes.
He doesn't have that.
He's Hyde and Hyde's brother, and I feel like the whole thing with Brienne saving Sansa was more of fan service than anything else. I don't know.
We'll get there.
I mean, that was pretty much at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I kind of am in the same boat as you guys. I think it was kind of like an episode that just kind of set the pieces, and to where I wouldn't have minded it if we didn't have last year to where it was like five episodes like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little gun-shy that, you know, we didn't see Bran, we didn't see Baelish, and, you know, both of them, you know, have, you know, prob- sizable parts to play, I would imagine. You know, Baelish, you know, is always behind the scenes, and I have to imagine that if, you know, he ends up sitting on the Iron Throne like Justin and I want, he's going to have to start making some big moves, and Bran is obviously going to, you know, be a big player this season. And I just don't want next week to be, you know, we hear their stories, and then we have to hear the story of, like, the, you know, the religious nuts and stuff like that. I want them to start moving this needle.
Oh, but, yeah. I would have cut that shit out big time. What, the Sept? With Marjorie? Yeah, done.
There's a fun fan theory out there that the Hound, because, Cersei, you know, she decided to take trial by combat, so obviously the Mountain is going to defend her against the Crown, and who the Crown's going to have fight. The rumors were that the Hound was going to, like, find God, so it was going to be like the Clegane brothers going at it, and I thought that was fun. But anyway, sorry. So yeah, we start the episode at the Wall. You know, we continue, you know, the thing of last season. Is Jon Snow dead? You know, is he alive? Blah, blah, blah. And while I don't think anyone expected them to bring Jon Snow back to life instantly, you know, we're kind of led to believe that that's probably the way they're going. We've got Davos and the couple knights that were loyal to Jon Snow and Ghost kind of hovering over his body. So just going over, minus old lady titties, which I'm sure we'll get to at the end, what did you guys think of, like, the Wall? You know, how did the Wall sit with you, Justin?
Fine. I felt the anticipation. I liked how a lot of the Night's Watch weren't involved in his murder, and that they felt just as betrayed as we did, as the audience. You know, they're flat out calling them murderers, and I thought that was great. And I like how Davos and Jon's friends are wise enough to think that as soon as they open up that door, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, the Night's Watch were outraged for, like, all of, like, 2 minutes, and Thorne's like, oh, I killed him. They're like, oh, all right, then.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's one of those things, though, where it's like a mob rule. I think if more people were upset, then they probably would have kind of overrun the place. But I think because he is a knight himself, you know, the guy, what's his name?
Alistair Thorne.
Alistair, yeah. You know, he's one of the baddies there. You know, he could take on any one of them.
Yeah.
And I think they're just scared.
And you almost legitimately felt like he thinks he did the right thing.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like a thing just because he hated Jon Snow. He put up with Jon Snow shit for, you know, the last 2 years,
sure,
or whatever.
And he mentions that. He's like, you know, and I even honestly believe that Jon Snow was doing what he thinks was right, but he is wrong.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
What did you think, Randy?
I agree. I think the Wall was probably the most interesting thing that happened in the entire episode. I'm very interested to know what's going on up there. From picking up right exactly where last season left off, looking at Jon Snow's body, to the very end when we saw the reveal of, spoilers, everybody, old lady titties. Whatever was going on up there captured my imagination more than anything else. And like Justin said, I am glad to see that a lot of the other men on the watch up there were outraged to hear of his death, but a lot of them are just too big of pussies to do anything about it. So I'm anxious to see what's going to go down. Like I said, that to me is by far pretty much one of the most interesting things that happened in the entire episode.
Okay, so you mentioned old lady titty. So, you know, Melisandre, she goes up to, you know, she's clearly shaken. She goes up to her bedroom, takes off her clothes. Everyone's like, yeah, Melisandre boobies. And then she takes off her necklace of power and find out she's a couple hundred years old. I would say when I saw it at first glance, I was like, well, that seemed like an unnecessary, just kind of okay, kind of plot thing. But then the more I thought of it, I kind of liked it because it showed that, you know, but it also showed that, like, she actually does have magical powers. And I know we've seen a couple things, like, here and there, but it was a nice reminder to us that she's not just some bullshit artist who says she looks into the flames and sees shit. She actually is a magical being who has powers. And it was great to see her because she's always been so confident because she believes in what she sees because she actually can see things. And now that Stannis is dead, now that she thinks Jon Snow is dead, who she also saw in her flames, she was just kind of shaken. Like, What have I been doing with my life? And, you know, it kind of really resonated more powerful with me the more I thought of it, to where when it went to credits, I was like, okay. But what did you guys think? What did you think, Justin?
I hated it.
Every second of it.
Every second of it. I thought, again, cut. I think that she could have gotten naked, taken off the necklace. She didn't have to get naked. She could have just taken off the necklace with the stairs.
Wait, let's not go that far. The naked part's important.
I don't need it.
No, it's, I like Melissa.
I'm trying to turn 13 episodes into 10 episodes. And to do so, I think they could have made room for another episode or two in this season. And I would have cut out 3 minutes of that 3.5 minute scene. I would have had her look in the mirror, take off the necklace, turn old, and then we go to black.
You know, it would have been easier. 13 episodes into 20 episodes.
Yeah. That's my problem. I'm already irritated. Before the season even started, I got irritated. And that sucks. That's unfortunate. Because now I feel like no matter what happens, I'm just going to get strung along for two more seasons.
Yeah.
And I think that's a legitimate complaint.
It's super legitimate.
Because I no longer care about the journey. I'm interested in the end now.
Yeah. There's just so much they got to set up. What about you, Rando? Did that scene resonate with you at all? Did it kind of hit you with a thud like Justin?
Well, it definitely resonated to some degree. I, like you said, it's nice to see that she has magic powers, but I never really questioned that ever since she birthed that black smoke monster thing out of her vagina earlier on.
Right.
I had no problem believing she had some sort of magical abilities. But it was a little bit shocking. I didn't see it coming, that's for sure. What it does is also gives her a vulnerability that we haven't really seen before. And I think you kind of nailed it earlier when you said that for the first time she's maybe kind of like doubting herself, and anybody that she sees in her visions, you know, things obviously don't go well for them. And we're seeing all that happen in front of our eyes. Maybe that's alarming to her as well.
Yeah. And if I had a magic talisman, I would never take it off.
Yeah,
that's like cartoons 101. You take that off, it's going to get lost or broken.
It's like when they realize they've stepped off the cliff, that's when they fall.
Exactly.
You can run for miles until you look down and realize.
Don't look down. Never look down. Gravity is only in your mind. All right, well, after Winterfell, we moved over to Winterfell. We got to see the aftermath of, you know, Theon and Sansa leaving. Justin had alluded to Ramsay almost having a moment of actual humanity before he totally just turned back into a despicable asshole like he normally is. I mean, there really wasn't much happening up there. Anything of note from you guys up there?
Mm-hmm. Other than Roose Bolton is him and his wife are now expecting.
Yeah.
So if Ramsay can't get the job done with Sansa, then he's just shit out of luck when it comes to being the Lord of Winterfell.
Sorry.
Yeah. gotta make the babies.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we moved over to the Eastern Continent. We got Jorah and Dario on their hunt, looking for the Queen of the Mother of Dragons, and finding a ring that she dropped last season. So, anything? What do you think of the dynamic? Because Game of Thrones does, one of the things they do really well is they really like to have interesting pairs. And normally it's Tyrion with somebody, and it's kind of like a buddy cop movie. Like Tyrion and Varys we'll get to in a minute, and I hope they never split sides. I want Tyrion and Varys like together like forever. T plus V. I want to like carve in like a weirwood tree. But what did you think of the dynamic between, you know, Jorah and Dario? Do we think we have a potential? Because Jorah always wanted to get with Khaleesi, and Dario's been there, done that, you know. So when they're measuring dicks, he can say his dick smells like Valyrian steel or something.
Right.
Insert dirty pun here.
Right.
I'm going to stop talking before I see something more gross. Just take over.
I don't really care about their dynamic whatsoever. Obviously, they're going to swoop in and find a way to assuming a dragon doesn't rescue Daenerys, then those two will do the cloak and dagger Metal Gear Solid, infiltrate the compound, and escape with the captive.
With exclamation points go, bring!
Because that's kind of what they do. We've seen that for multiple seasons now, that they are They are a couple of sneaky sneaks. They know how to get the job done. And if anybody's going to sneak past a horde of 10,000 Dothraki, it's going to be those two. And then when they get into trouble, then Drogon comes and lights everyone on fire. And then Daenerys is like, sorry. And she hops on the dragon.
No, turns to stone. He's like, ah, shit, bad timing.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah. What about you, Rando? Anything special about Jorah?
Wait, is that... Is he? He's contagious, right? So he's got to put, like, a condom on his arm.
Yeah.
That's one of the most interesting things I find about that pair, or just really seeing the progress that scaly thing on Jorah's arm is taking. You know, just seeing how much bigger it's getting and what kind of other symptoms it's causing him. Just because I really want to see where that's going to go. I'm really curious as to how this is going to end for him. Yeah. Obviously, it can't end that well.
And do we think that Dario is in charge of those the harpies, the bad dudes at Meereen?
Oh, I never even thought of that.
I was trying to figure out, like, someone important has to be, like, betraying her, mm-hmm. and it just felt like it was going to be Dario. But hopefully, like many of the plot threads that have been sewed here or sewed in previous seasons, I'm hoping that a lot of stuff just kind of gets thrown by the wayside. Which brings us to Dorne, the definition of what Justin was talking about, of shit to just get rid of. And it almost felt like Weiss and Benioff felt that by just, like, you know what, let's just wrap this whole Dorne shit up. And it was kind of disappointing because we had, you know, us book fans who can read. We had some powerful characters over there. We had, like, you know, Arya Hodo, the big old strong dude, getting taken down by, like, a 1-inch knife in, like, 1 second. And he's supposed to be, like, the baddest ass.
Yeah, he's like Ed 209 from fucking RoboCop is what I equated him to.
And this little girl has, like, this, like, 1-inch dagger, stabs him, and then stupid prince is, like, on the boat, and, you know, like,
turns his back to her. I was like, oh, that's not gonna work out, kid.
I'm like, you're dead already, but I mean, you don't have to make it this easy for him.
I know, idiot. That's a shame.
Wait, okay, so as someone who didn't have to read the books and didn't have to slog through so many chapters of Dorne to have just this innate hate that we have, Randy, what is your thought on Dorne as a whole, their stories, all that nonsense?
Well,
you can say I fucking hate it. That's total.
I mean, those are the most eventful deaths in the entire episode. And I did kind of always want to see Dr. Bashir die, so I finally got my wish.
That's terrible.
That's not bad. And which brings us to the sad part of poor Cersei Lannister having to watch the boat come in, and she's so happy. She's been shit on so much. She's Justin's favorite character. Mm-hmm. And just nothing's gone right for her. Finally, her daughter is coming home. She's so excited. She runs down with Franken Mountain, and they watch it, and then she sees the golden shroud from the prophecy of the frog lady, whatever her name was.
Oh, yeah.
And she instantly knows that her daughter's dead, that Tommen will die soon, and that her younger brother will soon kill her. So that's a lot to unpick. So what did you think of Cersei and Jaime just being like, you know what, fuck these people. We're going to just fuck everybody up
now. I liked it. I think that's what they need. This is what the Lannisters do. They win, and it's their time. I'm excited.
It's going to be my time. What about you, Randy? Same thing? You excited for Lannister justice? Just like, instead of no more petty squabbling, just gloves are off, just we're going to murder some fuckers.
Yeah, we're ready to see some payback, some rat foul murdering going on.
Yeah, I need to start with those religious assholes.
I know, I hate them. I hate, what is with Bible thumping sons of bitches? Why are they just the worst?
Yeah, well, and I like the good cop, bad cop routine. We had shame, lady, beating her down, and then we had nice old man, lead sparrow guy, like, oh, it's okay, just confess, it'll be over. What's going on? Why can't the mountain have already killed these people?
I don't know. It bothers me, though. I'm sick of it. I don't like anything with the Sept until they all die.
Yeah, hopefully horribly.
Horrible.
We got one
horrible
second.
Death.
Yeah, we got 1 second of Marjorie, and isn't Tommen the king? Can't he just, like, get her out? Like, hey, look, I'm the king. I'm kind of a big deal here.
Yeah.
Can't he just, like, send his goons and get her out?
I don't think so. He tried.
Yeah, but now he's not... You know, it's been a while since he's, like, got to touch his wife, and his wife's, you know, she's pretty cool. And I would think that he's just going to send the Mountain and the Kingsguard and Jaime, and he's going to wreck those fools.
In the anus.
Preferably in the anus. Speaking of in the anus, Daenerys. We got a whole lot of dirty talk from these Dothraki talking about white pussy hair and shit like that.
Oh, I know. That was offensive. Holy shit.
Yeah, and she for like the fifth time in the series played the I don't speak that language card and just listened to all their shit, and then, you know, they had Kyle Morrow or whatever his name, and all of a sudden they're talking about like it's like the best thing, and then they keep throwing us. He's like, okay, it's like the fifth best, one of the top five
it's
best
top
things.
Five. Yeah.
And they just keep all naming shit. It's like,
actually, that was another one of my favorite moments because I enjoyed the humor there.
Yeah. And then you had like the two like mouthy broads over there, like, and they just cut her fucking head off. Yeah. It was like a total Peanuts gallery situation.
I was waiting for that one guy. You can do it. From the Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah.
What's his fucking name?
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, yeah.
You can do it.
Cut his fucking head off.
Yeah. You can do it.
Terrible.
Yeah, so now she was in peril for all of like 8 seconds on the show. She was kidnapped and chained and dragged, and we're like, oh, this doesn't look good for her. Now all of a sudden they're like, oh, you're Khal Drogo's widow? No harm will come to you. No one will touch you. And we're going to take you to this prison. this really nice resort prison.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I'm like, huh? What? What?
That way, you know, you're not offending any former calls.
That's true. And then we go to Tyrion and Varys. And Marine talking about eating babies.
Do they have to mention that he doesn't have a penis in every episode? Every conversation, like, oh, you don't have a cock. BT dubs.
But it's only like, Tyrion seems to take such joy out of it recently, the last couple episodes.
God, it drives me nuts.
You penisless,
like,
man.
It's like, really, dude? Every time.
Yeah. And they didn't want to take, like, any guards with them. You know, they're in a pretty hostile city. I know they wanted to kind of blend in, but Tyrion doesn't blend well.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he's a short guy.
Yeah. I mean, more setup for shit to come. Finally, there's Red Priest there. They like Khaleesi. La 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 la. Nobody cares. This scene actually, something in this scene that kind of bothered me was they kept showing this like POV shot of someone like looking through like windows.
Yeah.
At Tyrion, like shit was about to go real, and then like it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I thought something was going to happen too.
I was like, what the fuck?
Like Sons of the Harpy were going to come out or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Touch it. Yeah.
With their like, masks on. Only their masks.
They were going to touch it, and they're like, oh, you don't have a cock. Shit. I wish I had known. Someone should bring this up every episode. Sorry. But we totally skipped over Sansa Stark, everyone's favorite character in the show, finally being reunited with Brienne and Pod.
Oh.
So you'd call it fan service, Justin. Why do you say that?
I just think that Brienne, for some reason, has this ridiculous following, and everyone loves her, and I don't. So I knew that I'm in the wrong, and that they did that to make everyone else happy. I think that my house is bugged, and they're out to get me.
Well, that's interesting. What are your thoughts on Brienne, Randy? You just know show Brienne, because like I hate book Brienne, but I like TV show Brienne.
And I can't separate the two.
I have zero problem with her whatsoever. I totally dig the character. And what's the name of her little manservant? The Pod.
Podrick Payne. Ilion Payne's son.
Yeah.
I was really concerned that he might die in the battle.
Nothing can happen to Potties. He's got. Speaking of cocks, he has a huge cock. They say in the show, in the book.
Yes, that is what we are led to believe. I haven't seen it yet, though.
I send you to a site or two.
No, that's all right. I'll wait and let it happen naturally on the show. I was genuinely fearing for his life because I'm like, this is going a little too well. I think something needs to happen to really kind of fuck things up for them. But I was pleased to see that he didn't die.
Yeah, I was hoping for like an awkward reunion between Pod and Sansa, because Sansa and Pod know each other. Because Pod was Tyrion's squire when Tyrion was married to Sansa, so they're acquainted. It would have been, hey, master. Which kind of, it brings up an interesting point. Is Theon Greyjoy redeemable in any way? Because, I mean, in this episode, we see Sansa really relying on him, showing what just an awful, useless character she is, because her mortal enemy, she's, like, hugging and, like, saying, I can't go on without you. I need you. And it's like, you know, I'll be such a cunt.
Well, I do think in this particular case and in this story, they have made Theon Greyjoy be redeemable. And I only say that because we got to witness the torture that he went through. It wasn't an afterthought. We were there the entire time. And no human deserves that. And I think that he has gotten to the point where he is so low that he can only go up. And I consider that to be redemption.
Yeah, I mean,
given
he was willing to sacrifice himself. They hatched a plan. He's going to go distract the dogs. Plan works for half of a second.
Mm-hmm. But it was selfless. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, he was committed. He was willing to sacrifice his life for Sansa.
Absolutely.
What do you think about it, Randy? What about Theon Greyjoy?
I still don't know about that guy.
Something about him you just don't trust.
I like to see that he showed a little backbone. I don't know. Like I said, I just don't know. I still don't know what to think about the guy. So I'm approaching that entire storyline very cautiously. But I enjoyed what I saw, and we didn't see much of Sansa. So that means that's a good thing. Less is more.
Agreed. Got to see her do the oath, just like Mama did.
Yeah, but she had to get coached through it.
Yeah, I like that. I liked how Pod helped her.
Because Pod's the best.
Yeah, Finding Man.
If I had to pick one person that I'd like to have a happy story, it'd be Pod.
Sure.
Let him have it. And I think that's really it. I think we've
Did we talk about Arya and her blind friend, or no. her blindness and her friend beating the shit out of her?
Yeah, I skipped over Arya.
Pass.
Yeah. You guys know my thoughts on Arya, so I'm gonna let you set this one up. One of you set up this Arya stuff. She's blind.
That's it. She's begging for coppers. She's a fucking homeless broad, and she's fitting in. The whole thing is fitting in, right? She's just now, she's a faceless one. When you think about it, because no one even really notices her. With the occasional coin going in a little tray. And then that one girl that's just a teacher's pet that just gets off on beating the shit out of people. Throws a kendo stick at her and starts beating the shit out of her.
He's a catch.
That ain't right. I don't like that girl. I hope she gets what's coming to her. Whether this is to mold Arya Stark into a better person and fighter, I don't like this girl's attitude. And I want her to be humbled in some way.
Well, hey, so Randy.
Same here. You're here.
This will be an interesting thing. Randy, do you think Arya is going to stay blind?
No.
Is this? You don't think she's going
to
be?
No, I think it's a temporary thing. I think it's to humble her, because she kind of needed to be humbled in a way, you know. And like Justin said, it really does force her to be. A faceless one, because she really can't stand out in the situation that she's in. I found the Arya storyline actually pretty enjoyable overall. I know you're probably rolling your eyes hearing that, but
I like her too.
Justin loves Arya.
I love her.
Arya's like Justin's favorite character.
Up to this point, I'm all on board. But this, I don't know, the stuff that happened this week. Maybe it's just I don't like seeing her get her ass handed to her. I don't know. Maybe because I'm sympathetic to the character, but
probably because we've got like 6 episodes of this.
Yeah, this is probably true before anything exciting happens for her.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to see her start kicking ass again.
All right, over under. Does she get her sight back? Over under episode 5.
Under.
I say after episode 5, so over.
All right. What's your guess, Justin? You said under. You think right around 5, or you think like...
Yeah, I was going to say like 4. I'm hoping for 2 or 3, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was 4. I think 5 or higher is stretching it thin.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 6 or 7 so that she can have...
You know what, though? There's so many characters on the show now that, I mean, everyone's fighting for 5 minutes of screen time when it's all said and done. So, I mean,
exactly.
That could be true.
Yeah, it's too many characters. All right, same thing. Over, under 5 episodes, Jon Snow comes back to life.
Under.
I'm going to go with under as well. I think it's going to happen by episode 3. I'll be kind of shocked if it doesn't happen next episode.
No way. I'm going over on this one.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're gonna fucking milk the shit out of this because they still have to have they have to have the big battle between the big Civil War battle. You know, we didn't even really talk. They sent Ed Dolores out to go get the Wildlings to fight for Jon Snow. So, gonna have to have some kind of battle between the Wildlings and the Night's Watch. You know, that's a whole episode.
Meanwhile, his body is sitting there rotting before they bring it back. So they gotta act fast.
Yeah, I bet the White Walker zombies get to the gate, and as Melisandre is bringing him back to life. And I'm going episode 8.
Wow.
So when do we think we're going to see Bran?
To next episode. Hodor?
Really?
Yeah, did you watch the scenes for next week?
I didn't. It wasn't on my torrent.
No. Whoa, we don't torrent here, Andy. I mean,
it's all free right now.
yeah, Bran is going to be in the next episode. If scenes next week on Game of Thrones, if that can be trusted. I was kind of surprised we didn't see Bran in this episode just because he took a whole season off. I thought for sure they used to do these cool things because the books do them to where like there's like an opening to each book that isn't really related to the bigger story. And I thought that would have been a good place to throw Bran in, you know, him kind of being jacked into the Weirwood tree and stuff like that. But I guess that's what we'll get next episode. He's going to give us the flashbacks.
Oh.
Yeah, so we had the one flashback last season with Cersei, and so it looks like this season we're going to get the flashback. We're going to get the Ned Stark, Robert Baratheon, you know, the last days of Lysa Stark, you know, hopefully leading up to the reveal of who Jon Snow is, or who Jon Snow's parentage is. L plus R equals J.
Yeah, so do you think that they'll make it to where he's the baby that supposedly the Mountain killed?
Jon Snow?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay, good, because he has the wrong color hair, and I just thought that would be stupid.
I think it's going to be, you know, when Ned and Robert got to the keep, you know, and Rhaegar had, you know, put his seed into Lysa Stark, and out pops Jon Snow, and... She said, lets Jon Snow know that this is the last of the Targaryens and he needs to be protected. And so he takes it upon himself to say he's his bastard. And then so now Jon Snow
But Targaryens have the wrong color. They have a different color hair. That's what I'm saying.
But he's not full Targaryen. Oh. He's part Stark.
Oh.
So he's a Stark Targaryen. And so now when we have, you know, the whole three-headed dragon, you know, prophecy, you know, you got Jon Snow, you got Daenerys, and now we just need a third person to ride. Could be Tyrion. There's a lot of people out there thinking Tyrion is a Targaryen and not a Lannister.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because...
They were there when he was born.
The Mad King Aerys, like, was in love with Jon Lannister. You know, Cersei and Jaime and Tyrion's dad, or Tyrion's mom. And he was never shy to admit it. And, you know, there are rumors that they may have been lovers and that Tyrion came out with a tail. And that's kind of a Targaryen thing. Some Targaryens come out with tails because, you know, they're part dragon. We're getting highfalutin here. But.
I know. And let's just pretend that that is true. I hate that we've gone this far without any... you know, real discussion about something like that. You know, now we're finally getting a flashback episode, which is great, but they could have done that sooner. Now it's just like, oh yeah, we forgot to do this.
Well, I think the flashback is total fan service. I think that I think that maybe they needed to wait until they were past George R. R. Martin as kind of a, not a respect thing, but kind of a, they couldn't really fit it in the time that they were telling his story because for whatever reason, he has not made it known yet. And so I think that maybe they needed to wait until they were past him to reveal Jon Snow's parentage, which is a total, if I were George R. R. Martin, I'd be just sucks because obviously that's one of his big reveals that, you know, he has in his back pocket that, you know, presumably he wanted to outline for people and now he's not going to get to do it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's that. I mean, if you go look at any kind of like fan theories, like that's like the first thing everyone wants to know, like who Jon Snow's parents.
But at the same time, he can't be too upset only because he's had a long time to write these properties and he signed off and gave his blessing for HBO to do this show. And he was crazy to think that they wouldn't catch up to him.
Oh, absolutely.
It might be a buzzkill, but he can't be angry.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what I meant. That he's going to be bummed that for whatever reason, he wasn't fast enough writer. He didn't reveal it early in the story, you know, that the big, oh shit moment of the series, you know, could possibly not be told by him.
Right. And I think what is kind of neat though for people that have read the books is that there is a significant character was introduced in Dance with Dragons, book 5. And that person is not anywhere on the show. And so we will get, I honestly believe we will get a different ending than what the show ends up giving us.
Yeah. And I think it would be safe to talk about, you know, Griff. I don't think that's, I mean, I can't imagine there's time to put him in the show.
I don't know. Who knows with these people? Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, who knows? We talked about Stoneheart last year, the zombie Catelyn, thinking that it was never going to happen, and now it looks like, you know, there's a chance it might happen. So.
See? Shit's weird, man.
I guess we can't talk about anything, so. And that's basically the show. I mean, so you guys kind of gave your thoughts earlier. Was there anything else you wanted to share? Like maybe something you really liked or something you really hated or something that you're like, oh, I can't wait to see how this plans out? Randy?
Nope.
No? Nothing?
Wow. Nothing I haven't already discussed, I think.
Wow.
I would need to watch it again and really, like, critically pick it apart.
And who wants to do that?
Right?
Yeah. This was not a watch two times episode.
No! I think that's a downer. That is a Debbie Downer, man.
This was like a 5-minute previously on.
I know, it was so long. And I'm not interested in the previously on to take place, you know, pretty much as the show's going. You know, Randy said it great with the whole recap. It was basically a recap episode. It was almost like a clip show of future clips. And it was a little off-putting for me because I, like you guys, wanted some kind of open with a bang, you know? And I get the anticipation. I get the slow burn. But, motherfucker, this is season 6, man. We've been burning for 5 seasons. And I'm ready for more. I am excited for the showdown at the wall. I am excited to see what happens with these flashbacks. I think that's going to be fantastic. And then as much as I hate Greyjoy anything, they're going to be introducing the Greyjoys that are actually worth a damn. So that's kind of cool in its own way. And then And your buddy, Mr. Bran Stark. If anybody needs a fucking...
My buddy.
Yeah, your buddy. just so you can park in the handicap spot. If anybody deserves hey, what's this guy up to? It's that young man. And I am literally shocked and amazed that we didn't get a dose of Bran.
Yeah. What do you think about all the girl power? I mean, this season... this episode was very girls rule. I mean, we got the Sand Snakes basically taking over Dorne. You know, we have Cersei kind of having her moment where she's like, fuck these people. You know, we have Brienne and Sansa finally reconnecting. We have Melisandre and her moment of weakness. Is this a sign, you think, of the season that we're going to get to where we're going to be embracing these strong female characters? Or is this just happened to be how the show worked?
I think the show is full of strong women, and it always has been. Caitlin or Catelyn Stark showed how strong she was at the very beginning. You know, she took up that knife. She grabbed the blade with her hand. Like, she's like, fuck you. You're not going to hurt my kid. And Arya showed that she was better than her brothers. And I think that that's fantastic. And it's been that way since the get-go. And Cersei Lannister, for crying out loud, she is just all kinds of powerful. And Daenerys is supposed to be, but we never really see it every once in a while. She needs a dragon to be powerful. I think everyone else is powerful with their words and actions.
Do you think it's a course correct? You know, it's been a heavily criticized show for being, you know, so misogynistic and you know,
rapey.
do you think this is a course correction, or do you think this is the way that Weiss and Benioff would like to point the show now that they're not under the thumb of the tugboat captain, George R. R. Martin?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I think it's one of those, this is their journey. The hero needs to be knocked down before they can rise up. And there's a lot of knocking down.
It's like a Chumbawamba song.
Mm-hmm. I get knocked out. I totally cranked that song up the other day, thinking of Fired Up. Yeah. Oh, man, get off my Crocs. Oh, God, that movie is so funny. Carly's Bad California.
I'm new to all this, but it seems like we're talking an awful lot.
Oh, my God. Carly Fries. Oh, it's so funny.
What do you think, Randy, about the whole gender roles? You think it's just how it rumbled? You think it's their way of kind of like, sorry about all the rape.
And child burning.
And yeah, the child murdering, was that whole scene was pretty hard.
Well, okay, I wouldn't have any trouble believing that it is more or less an apology if we still didn't get the occasional scene in a brothel with gratuitous boobs. Granted, we haven't had as many of those, but being that we still have those, I don't think they're kind of shying away from that entirely. And even if they are doing it as a quote unquote apology, I have no problem with it. I enjoy a good, strong female character. And for the exact same reasons that I don't understand why people are complaining about female leads in the current Star Wars movies, I don't have any problem with strong female leads here in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I think the people that do have a problem with it are
asinine.
They may be the misogynistic ones that we need to worry about, not the showrunners.
Yeah.
But no Peter Baelish in this episode.
I know, that's too bad. I like him. Now, are we to believe that Dorne's going to war with the Lannisters?
No, I think Dorne's done. I don't think we're ever going to hear from Dorne again.
You don't think that the Lannisters are going to say, fuck Dorne, we're going to go invade?
I think they are, vice versa? And it will all happen off screen. I think that the Lannisters have so much shit they got to take care of in King's Landing, and everyone just so overwhelmingly hates Dorne. I think that this is like a way for them to kind of like at least pause the story for a while. I don't think we'll see much Dorne this season. I think that they may come up later when Cersei's done. When the Lannisters are done murdering everybody in King's Landing, then maybe they'll go to Dorne. But I think this is their way of just kind of like tying up all the loose ends, because otherwise people would be like, hey, what about Marcella's husband? Wouldn't he be mad? And this, or not husband, fiance. I think they're just tying up all the loose ends, but I could be totally wrong.
As far as the Lannisters are concerned, the War of the Five Kings is over, and Lil Tomlin's in charge, and there are no immediate threats aside from the Sparrows, correct?
Correct, yeah. The Sparrows are numero uno on their fuck list. But yeah, all the other Imposter Kings are all dead.
Imposter Kings?
What do they call him? Whatever. Well, Stannis has a real derogatory term for
false.
Him.
False.
Was it False King?
I don't know.
That doesn't seem mean enough. That seems too normal for Stannis. Stannis would say something boring, like, you know, the non-functional appealing king of Westeros.
He's a gay.
he was.
That's what Stanley. That's what Stannis says about Renly. He's a gay.
I don't think that's what he says.
Oh, that's what I heard.
I think you're watching a different, an entirely different movie.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So we'll just put a bow on this. What's the most exciting story thread, the thing you're most excited about that we've seen set up so far this season. Go.
Lannisters ready to kick ass and take names.
Randy.
Daenerys finally getting cut down by Dothraki.
That's not going to happen.
I know. I can wish, though, right?
Oh, my God, and they burned her goddamn ships.
Oh, yeah. She was this close.
But
yeah.
Why would they burn them? Don't they want them to leave? Mm. Like, why would the Harpies burn their ships? If they leave the ships, they're going to take the ships and leave. Now they have to stay.
Mm. Well, now they can't escape. Maybe they're amassing their numbers and they're going to wipe them out.
They were leaving.
The Jedi are relentless.
They were going to get on a boat and leave. Now you've burned their ships. So they were going to leave. You were going to be gone of them, and you wouldn't have to fight. Now you have to fight to get rid of them.
Maybe the Unsullied can make a bridge like ants.
Yeah. Zero Unsullied in this episode.
It's a narrow sea, you know.
Oh, my God. I hate Meereen. I hate it almost as much as I hate Dorne.
Mm.
Almost.
And now she's back in the desert, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
I can't fathom why anyone would still give two shits about Daenerys.
She's got dragons.
People but she like, doesn't. Where are they dragons?
People like dragons. They're in the
can't
dungeon.
Dragons. There's no direwolves in this show. There's no dragons.
Ghosty.
Yeah, he finally got ghost for like 2 seconds. But like, yeah.
Aww.
Direwolves are expensive.
Yeah.
In the books, they're a constant presence. Like, well, they're
it's,
always
it's, cheap, it's cheaper to write the word direwolf than it is to produce one.
100% is. I'm just saying. It's a pretty integral part. Like, I get it.
So have, like, cardboard cutouts. Wolves everywhere.
Just, like, shadow puppets. Like, and, like, just some, like, guy in the background, like, rawr.
Yeah. Jim Henson could do it if he wasn't, you know,
dead. I'm a direwolf. So, yeah, I'm pretty thrilled about Lannisters because I like Lannisters and I hate Starks. And
yeah, except Cersei. You don't like Cersei. I'm in love with her. You don't
I like Cersei.
Oh, I thought you said you hated her.
No way! You kidding me?
Every show, you guys tell me that I'm full of shit for liking her.
You tell me that, you keep trying to tell me, like, oh, we're going to feel bad for her and we're going to, like we're going to think she's, like, getting the wrong stick. I don't think any of that. I think that she is, like, an evil, evil, evil lady, and I still can't get enough of her.
Oh, I love her.
Just because I know Jaime will kill her eventually.
No.
100%.
No. It's kind of what he does.
She's got to get killed by her younger brother, and Tyrion seems too obvious.
Is she the oldest? No, they're twins.
Yeah, but she...
Oh, she came out first, and he was holding on to her foot or something like
that. Yeah, he was holding on to her ankle when she came out. Yeah. So yeah,
she remembers that.
Yeah. Yeah, she was there.
She must be a Scientologist.
Even back then, she was pissed. But yeah, so once they kill Tommen, then, you know, it's her turn to...
How's he going to die?
I don't know, but he's a nice guy. He's not a dick like his brother. We're not going to cheer his death.
Oh, yeah.
He'll probably get killed in the crossfire when they go and fight with those religious nuts.
Mm. Yeah, Elizabeth Swann's dad's gonna kill him.
Yes, yes. Elizabeth Swann's dad.
High sparrow.
Spot on.
He likes birds. That guy. Swan Sparrow. Jeez. Who's the monkey riding on this ostrich anyway? I swear.
So yeah, Game of Thrones. Okay, I think.
Wait, what do you rank the episode? A, B, C, D.
Oh, A, B, C, D. Give it a solid B minus.
C plus.
Randy?
I go C plus as well.
Yeah. It was great to be back, but irritating that nothing happened.
Hate to see you go. Love to watch you leave.
Yeah.
Stuff happened. They ended the Dorne storyline.
Oh, yeah. And what kind of bullshit is that it says it's a 59-minute episode, it ends at 52, and then there's a 7-minute interview afterwards?
And 4 minutes of previously
on. Lame. No.
The whole thing I watched was 59 minutes, and it was four. The previously on was almost 4 minutes of that, and then yeah, they had longer credits than normal, and they had that whole thing at the end.
Yeah, so it was a 40-something minute show.
Yeah,
Lame.
Which is what you do when you want to stretch 13 episodes into 20.
Yeah, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah, considering season 3, we got all the episodes were 52 minutes, and we got a 59-minute episode.
I know. I'm so envious. I know two people that plowed through 5 seasons before this season started, and I'm half tempted to do the same thing when it's all over. It's just to wait and then just
sit it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see doing that. Some shows are better binge watched, and I think Game of Thrones might be one of them.
Yes, it is. Because nothing happens. And then when you watch 10 hours of it, they're like, well, that's a pretty good show, because you didn't have time to realize that nothing was going on.
Yeah. One of the things that I really enjoyed is when those first 4 episodes kind of hit simultaneously last year.
Mm-hmm. And since you were in the media, you got copies of them?
Of course, right. I liked being able to sit there and binge it. I haven't been able to do that because I've been watching it anxiously week by week since the first season. So, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe this would have been better off had it gone the Netflix model.
Mm-hmm. Throw it all at once.
Got it. I think the anticipation does it good, but there's just so many characters I don't like.
But I think it's frustrating when the most exciting part of the episode is next time on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I get more joy from the 20-second clip of what happens next week than the episode I just watched.
Yeah, I think they were hoping to get more miles out of the shock value of Melisandre turning into an old lady.
Yeah, not impressed.
I think, especially because they made such a huge deal about not sending out screeners, which is always a sign that there's like something big is going to happen. And then, so far, episode 1, nothing...
Fell flat.
Nothing happened that I'd be mad if I saw in my Facebook feed before I watched the episode.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
If someone, like, people are already sharing, like, a meme, some funny meme of young and old Daenerys, young and old Melisandre, and it's like, all right. No outrage there, but if Jon Snow'd come back to life, and they showed a fucking picture of Jon Snow, like, running into battle with Longclaw, I'd be like, fuck! I was wrong. I said episode 8.
Right? Idiot.
What the hell do you know, idiot? but that's all Game of Thrones. You want to talk about Killing Joke real quick?
Sure.
I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Tell me all about this number one new hit show.
Yeah, Killing Joke, written by your buddy. You got two buddies, Bran Stark and Alan Moore.
Nope. False.
You guys have elegant tea parties together. And, it's exciting shit. It's going to, this animated feature is going to premiere at San Diego Comic-Con this summer.
Ooh.
And, get in line for that, like, right now.
Serious.
But, all your favorite voice actors will be returning, which is, exciting stuff. Yeah. What is it? Kevin Conroy and, Mark Hamill. Exciting stuff, man. And this
is some exciting stuff.
And this sees the end of the Joker. This is one of those one-shots that is sort of canon because Barbara Gordon did get shot and she was paralyzed and she was not able to be Batgirl for a long, long time. And at the same time, though, the comic ended with him breaking Joker's neck. At least that's how I thought it ended up being. And the first time I read it, I didn't catch it. Someone mentioned it. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it totally makes sense. You read it and you're like, yeah, he totally just breaks his fucking neck. And then in the trailer, Batman even says, you know, one of us, this is going to end, and one of us is going to die. Either I kill you or you kill me. And it's just all about... Oh! Also, we get to kind of see an origin story of Joker. You know, he's just a guy that has a very bad day, and he just fucking snaps. So you get to see him be married, lose his wife, and fail as a comedian. Maybe rob, like, a bank or something? Doesn't he rob something? I forget. It's been a while. But then he gets betrayed by the guys that he was robbing with. And
yeah, they're going to do, like, a big heist.
Yeah.
He's kind of the one left holding the bag.
Like he's like a patsy. And yeah. He just fucking flips his lid.
What
a bad day. Yeah. It's one of those when it rains, it pours type of deals.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of surprised because Dave Gibbons, the artist who always works with Alan Moore, he was on, like, an interview. And it was, like, years after the book came out. And he's like, well, you know, it's because Batman kills Joker. And I remember the interview going, like, what? And he's like, yeah, at the end of Killing Joke, that's Batman breaks his neck. He's like, no, he doesn't. He's like, yeah, I was there. I know what happened. And the guy's all like, what the fuck? And I remember, I want to say it was like, maybe it was like 04 or something like that. And I remember just the early 04 internet just going off their fucking, just losing their shit because I'm like, Justin, I didn't catch it. I just thought it was like the end of the book. It cuts to black, Soprano style, and that's all she wrote. But then, yeah, he was just so like nonchalant. Yeah, he fucking dies. Like,
yeah. Oh. I don't have a fucking ball, right?
All right, a fucking asshole. Yeah.
The audacity.
The downright, the unmitigated gall.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Can't go wrong with those two.
No.
Batman and Joker. They go together like peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time!
Like peas and carrots. Fun side story, I know the answer before I asked this. Have either of you ever read the book Forrest Gump? Did you know it was based on a novel?
I had no idea.
Yeah, Forrest Gump, it was actually based on a novel, and it's a real short novel. It's only 288 pages, so I got a copy and I read it. Like, Forrest Gump goes to space.
What?
Like no shit. Like, he goes to space, and the
you lost me there. I'm not going to lie.
No. It's better. So he goes to space with this girl named Sue. It's a monkey named Sue and this other girl whose name I can't remember at the point. And when they come back, there's a malfunction and they crash land on this like deserted island full of cannibals. And Forrest Gump lives amongst cannibals for like 2 years or something like that. It's batshit crazy. It's so weird. It was beyond just weird.
You are not making sense.
Oh, no, I'm making sense. The book wasn't making sense.
How am I just now hearing about this 22 years later?
I was watching, like Watch Mojo, like the YouTube channel or something like that, and it was, like, top 10 movies that are very different from their source material. And I didn't even know Forrest Gump was based off a book.
Huh.
And they started talking about shit, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll check this out. And I went to, like, Wikipedia and looked up, and I'm like, no, it's not in the book. And then there it was. Like, he's like... He's like full on having sex with Jenny a bunch, and she's telling him how good he is. It's a different book. It's different.
Wasn't there like a follow up where he loses his fortune too, or wasn't there supposed to be?
I don't know. That wouldn't surprise me. Like, the book ends with him going into the shrimping business.
Hmm.
But it's a lot of the same stuff, you know, his encounters with like famous people and stuff. He was a running.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
He's like, I was running. I love that.
if for nothing else, it's worth, you know, checking out like the Wikipedia on it or something, like just to like see the like some of the weird shit in there.
I like the music in that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But you know, today is Alien Day.
Yep.
That'll be 4/26, April 26. Yeah. How fun.
They released images of the Alien King.
I missed that.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Is this Blomkamp's Alien King?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's Blomkamp's specific. He told everyone today that Newt was going to be in his movie.
I saw that. I saw the concept art for.
Yeah. Look like Newt, but older.
Older. Yeah.
Like an adult. It's like, I don't need concept art for that, Mr. Blomkamp. Like, I can imagine what a 20-year-old blonde girl looks like. I got my internet search history to tell you.
Hey now.
Easy.
Usually it's stuffed with colored.
Stuffed with what?
Nothing.
Stuffed with colored what?
No, you're right. You got a list?
I do. I wasn't expecting this.
to get
thrown in my direction so quickly to change the subject.
All right.
All right. I got something fun here, actually, kind of this week. It's a little different. It is a list of five iconic performances that everyone on set hated.
It sounds like you're just tired of Justin and I interrupting your top 10 list, and so now you're just cutting it in half so we only interrupt you half as much.
At some point, it's going to become a cop one list, because that way we'll go off on fewer tangents.
Now we just have to interrupt you twice as much, or for twice as long.
All right, I'm just going to go through this quickly and not do a whole lot of pomp and circumstance.
So you say...
Good luck.
We're going to be here all night.
Otherwise.
All right. Number five, Pirates of the Caribbean. The producers feared Johnny Depp's performance would kill the movie.
Huh. I could definitely see that.
They couldn't tell if he was perpetually drunk or gay or both.
I saw this thing where he started off with like 30 crown teeth and all kinds of shit in his hair, and he only wanted a few, but he figured if he showed up with only a few, they'd say take it out. So he went with a bunch, so they would meet in the middle with a compromise.
Yeah. That makes
sense.
Smart
man.
Yeah.
It's like negotiating tactics.
Yeah.
Start high, then work your way lower.
Yep.
I like that there was like a video feature on like one of the DVDs, something like that. It's like all the shit that he wears, and like one of them is like a like spray painted gold like goldfish cracker. Like he's just got some random shit on there. It's worth watching.
That is pretty random.
Penises.
Number four.
Moving on. Number four. Nobody apparently wanted Al Pacino to star in The Godfather.
Oh yeah, I knew that. They tried to fire his ass too.
Yeah. So much so that at one point Coppola had to pull him aside and say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And set him straight.
Yeah,
you're Michael Corleone.
He's like, "I can't help it. They're all speaking Italian. I don't speak fucking Italian. What do you want from me?"
Fucking eye ties.
Good stuff.
Number three. This one's reaching way back.
Ooh.
Lauren Bacall's iconic role in The Big Sleep came at the expense of her co-stars. So originally, her performance was apparently pretty bad, but they were obviously doing a lot to try to make her look good in the movie. Her co-star, which is a younger actor named Martha Vickers, was so electric in all of her scenes that she kind of stole the show. So Bacall was so upset that they ended up going back, reshooting a bunch of stuff, enhancing her role, and the other chick got pretty much all but cut out.
Aww.
Wah,
simply for one woman's vanity.
Bitch.
All right. Next on our list. This one is one you guys will appreciate.
Ooh, I like it.
The Usual Suspects. Ooh. Benicio del Toro's gibberish was completely ad-libbed and at the beginning was not appreciated by his co-stars whatsoever. No one wanted to talk to him on set. They all thought he was fucking insane, literally. But it ended up working out all right.
I like it. I thought he was all kind of twitchy. Otherwise, it would just be like five regular dudes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Gotta have him, and you gotta have fucking Kevin Pollak being the smartass, and Stephen Baldwin being the psychopath.
Well, what it came down to was he wasn't given any direction on how to deliver his lines. Like basically,
give me the keys, you cocksucker.
So he decided to run with it, and he went like the furthest extreme you can imagine. Like, well, I'm gonna fucking just like do this like an alcoholic parrot, and nobody corrected him. So he kind of got himself locked into it. It started out as not really a joke, but kind of more like a, well, I'm gonna see how far I can push the boundaries, and it stuck.
Well, it sounds more like a Brian. You should be mad at Bryan Singer.
Well, honestly, who shouldn't be, though?
Bryan Singer is a national treasure. He made Superman Returns and 2.5 good X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that Blob's going to be in the new movie?
Yeah, and Wolverine.
What? I didn't know about Wolverine.
Oh, you haven't seen the new trailer?
No.
Oh.
What the fuck? Sorry.
There is a new trailer. And
it's on GeekLegacy.com.
Oh. Yeah.
I missed it.
Apparently, Mystique now pretty much runs the X-Men.
Yeah, she's in charge. It's basically just like the other Bryan Singer movies where Professor X is incapacitated and someone else has to take over. And this time it's Mystique because Jennifer Lawrence is awesome.
I want to be X-Men. But the caption, the headline here says X-Men Apocalypse trailer puts Jennifer Lawrence in charge. Why doesn't it say X-Men Apocalypse? Wolverine is now in it.
because it's a surprise at the very end.
Oh, you ruined it anyway.
Yeah, I just assumed you had seen it.
I know, because I didn't want to... So I was kind of doing something weird with this movie. The first trailer I saw, I was like, I don't really get it. And then now I've decided to not really watch a whole lot so I could be surprised. I wanted to have a surprise movie this year, and that was going to be it.
So Wolverine's not in it then.
No, I'm okay with him being in it. But I mean, you know, I didn't want to hear the one-liners and all this other stuff. I just wanted to, because you know, like when you see a scene in the trailer over and over and over again, you know when it's about to happen in the movie. Like, yeah. Just based on what the outfit they're wearing or the building that they're in, you're like, oh, here comes this part.
Right.
And it's kind of been a blur for me.
Yeah. Still to this day, when I watch Force Awakens, there's like two or three moments where I'm like they're just like especially the part like when Finn pops up, like that first shot of the very first.
Oh, trailer, yeah.
Like, it's still just so jarring because like that was like the first new Star Wars we saw. And,
yeah. And he was all scared. You're like, why is the stormtrooper in the desert? Why is he scared? And why is he black? What's going on?
No black stormtroopers. But yeah, the new
everyone
X-Men
was
trailer,
freaking out. Yeah. Stormtroopers aren't black, they say.
Yeah, they can be aliens, but they can't be black.
They're like Jango Fett. What was Jango Fett?
New Zealand
Kiwi.
Kiwi. Yeah.
But you should watch the X-Men Apocalypse trailer if you ever feel like it. It's the best of the three trailers, and it's the last one. And I've already ruined it for him, so.
No, that's fine. I'll check it out. It's all good. I'll find a new favorite. Or I'll find a new surprise movie.
Nice. You can make your surprise movie Rogue One.
Yeah, right. I don't even really remember what's coming out this summer.
A lot. A lot of stuff.
I do think Star Trek's going to be the big bomb this year, though. I think that movie's going to suck a dick and no one's going to like it. Anyway, Randy, get back here.
Holy hell. And this is why I can't do top 10 lists anymore. All right, number one on our list.
What was two? Oh, yeah, Usual Suspects. That's right.
Yeah,
that spawned Bryan Singer talk.
So you guys, you're big fans of The Wizard of Oz, right?
No, I actually hate it.
I am.
All right. Well, did you know
that an asshole.
From the very beginning, studio executives were worried that Judy Garland was simply too fat to play a happy-go-lucky farm girl from Kansas.
Aww.
So they started shoving amphetamines down her throat, and Louis B. Mayer, the MGM executive, was so committed to making sure that she lost weight that he had people following her around making sure she wasn't cheating on her diet. Her diet, by the way, consisted of chicken soup, coffee, and 80 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
Good for her.
She was 16 years old.
Yeah, they actually ruined her life. They kept her on alcohol and pills like the rest of her life. It totally fucked her.
You can't make the most iconic piece of cinema without breaking some eggs.
Yeah, that's a shame. She had it rough.
Yeah.
And that's how she liked it.
That Louis B. Mayer was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That guy.
I think he got eaten by that lion.
Yeah. He's trying to give it amphetamines to roar. Like, roar, you dumb tiger. He's like, I'm a lion.
Whatever, babe. You're doing it wrong.
Hey, don't tell me what to do. I'm in the pictures. I'm in the motion pictures.
So that's our list this week.
What a fantastic list. Holy shit.
I figured you guys might have some fun with that one.
Was it initially a top 10 and you cut it down to 5?
No, it was just a top 5, and it comes courtesy of Cracked.com. It's actually a brand new list, too, just this month. I didn't go digging around for some 5-year-old list this time.
Celebrities you didn't know were dead.
Yeah.
Number 14, it will surprise you.
And it's Gandhi. Like, oh, I know.
The top 10 celebrity deaths that Nick Cage could have started but didn't.
My Facebook feed is all clickbait now. Because it's so bad. You click on one, and all of a sudden Facebook recommends two, and you click on two of those, and it's right.
Cut like off the head, and two will take its place. Yeah,
now it's all, like, salacious, like, softcore porn.
Ooh. I like that word, salacious.
I do, too. Reminds me of Salacious Crumb from Jonas Palace. What does that say about me?
It says that you're awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin? You got something else for us?
I have a game.
Oh, shit. Let's play.
Yes, it is in the spirit of the return of Game of Thrones. I thought it would be fun to make a game based off of characters that have died.
And there are many.
Yes. So I'm going to give you a quick little clue, and you just shout out the answer when you know it. All right.
Sounds easy enough.
And this can be from any movie.
any episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh, it's just Game of Thrones.
Sorry.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a Game of Thrones game. No, they're all easy ones. I made them pretty easy.
I don't know. I'm pretty terrible at names, but cool. I'll do it.
All right, here we go. Well, I mean, you just ballpark it and I'll give you points.
Me too?
Yeah, you too. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay, because this is a show where no one's safe. We all know that. I mean, some people prove it sooner than others, but it's always sad when someone dies. But anyway, are you guys ready?
Ta-da.
Here we go.
Ready.
Number one. Even though he was married to a queen, he never quite had the sex though before being murdered at the hands of a smoke monster.
Damn it.
What is this, Lost?
Renly.
Baratheon, there you go. You get minus 1 point.
Sweet.
For guessing wrong the first time. But then you'll get a point for guessing right the second time.
What about Randy? He guessed wrong the first time.
I did too.
Yeah, but I didn't hear him.
Story of my life, man.
We'll just keep you both at zero. How about that?
For sure.
All right. It might behoove you to wait until I'm finished.
It might.
Are you ready?
Ready.
This old bear was murdered by a bunch of mutineer bastards at Craster's Keep.
Mormont.
There you go. I'll give you credit for that.
Okay, thanks.
It's got a weird name. It's kind of like Jorah, but it's like Giora or something stupid.
Oh, okay.
Gior, Eor, who knows? I was going to take Lord Commander or Mormont. Since I said old bear,
I was going to be like Jorah's dad.
Yeah, I would take that. David has one. All right, here we go. This fat fuck of a king was slain by a wild boar.
Robert Baratheon.
All right, David has two. Alright. This poor wolf was slain at the hands of a Stark. Ned Stark, to be exact, who won't dare. Very good. Let some filthy fucking Lannister have the pleasure of killing her. That was Sansa's wolf lady. Good job, Dave. That's going back, Randy. That was episode 2, I think.
Yeah.
The first season.
I didn't know we were going animals, too.
You know, I actually watched the entire first season, After it aired, and my wife at the time hadn't watched any of it, so I was getting her up to speed. And that, I'm going to reiterate what I said earlier, that's the way to go, man. Just fucking binging the shit out of that show is an excellent feeling.
Everyone stop watching this shit.
Right.
But it also means it's been like 5 years since I've watched that first season. Like I said, I'm going to be terrible at this game. I remember no names.
You're doing okay. You're doing good.
I have minus 1 point.
this one might be hard, too, but you can be creative, and I'll let you, you might get points.
All right.
This pregnant queen was stabbed repeatedly in the stomach whilst listening to the gently tune of Reigns of Castamere.
J-E-Y-N-E.
That was her name in the book, and she wasn't even at the wedding in the book.
That's not her name in the show, too?
No, it's different. So if Randy wants to say Mrs. Stark, I'll take it.
Then I will say Mrs. Stark.
All right! Good
job. What was her first name in the show?
Talisa.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Randy's on the board with one. Mrs. Stark. I like your style. All right, this Dothraki badass was smothered to death by the Mother of Dragons. Very good, Dave. You are now at 4. Randy's at 1. Alrighty, this Ranger of the Night's Watch met his end at the hands of Jon Snow. Good thing he had both hands and not just a half.
I was going to say Janice Slint, but I'm afraid that's wrong now.
Yeah, he got his head chopped off. The half was supposed to be a hint. Half. Half hand. Corn half hand.
Oh.
That's okay. That was the end of season 2, I think.
Really?
Corn half hand, yeah. It's alright. Remember, that was when he met, that redheaded chick that's been kissed by fire, yeah. Ygritte.
I remember the character. Whenever I think Jon Snow killing a guy, I always go to Janice Lynch because it was so pleasurable.
That was great. I was, swear to God, I was half asleep reading that book, and then when that happened, I was wide awake again for a couple more hours and just kept going. I was like, this is awesome!
He's like, this fucking guy's not going to do anything. Oh, shit, he's going to fucking do it. I'm sorry!
Yeah. Stop, Miss Me. Don't try and stop, Miss Me. Here we go. Number 8. This Hand of the King was murdered on the potty, and as it turns out, in the end...
Tywin Lannister.
He did not shit gold. Very good. Tywin Lannister.
In the privy?
No. The loo. 5. Okay. Dave has 5. Randy has 1. This would-be king never made it to Westeros before he died, but on the plus side, he did get to wear a golden crown.
Daenerys' brother.
Yes, I'll take it.
The Ciri?
The Ciri. All right, Randy's got 2.
Woo!
Dave, I'll go ahead and give you a point too, since we have a golden snitch. So you have 6. Randy has 2.
Hooray!
Yay! See, it's fair. Mm-hmm. All right, number 10. After an amazing fight with the mountain that rides, this Dornishman gets his head
Oberyn.
Squashed like a grape. I'm sorry, what was that, Dave?
I said Oberyn.
Very good. Oberyn Martell. I would have also taken
also known as the Viper.
All right, Randy, you get a point. Going with the AKA.
Aliases include.
Yes. Randy has 3. I know, that was bad. He was so busy with My Name is Inigo Montoya, You Killed My Father, Prepared to Die speech, he got distracted.
And now we got Zombie Mountain.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a big problem.
Yeah, big problem. It's huge. Number 11 and the Golden Snitch.
Oh, shit, I thought that was the Golden Snitch. I'm all celebrating over here.
Yeah, don't do that. Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Hands on the buzzer. This former Hand of the King was beheaded at the Great Sept of Baelor.
Ned Stark.
What'd you say?
I said Ned Stark.
Oh, I heard Ned Stake. But I'll just assume that was a bad connection. The judges are shaking their head that you did say Stark, even though I heard Steak.
Yes.
So you got a rumbly in your tumbly over there, Dave?
You know that most noble of houses.
Yes. The House of Meat. Mm. Here we go. Dave has 157 points. Good job. And you win this week's game. You know your shit when it comes to who died in Game of Thrones.
Fantasize about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes pornography doesn't work, if you catch my drift.
Mm. You like the snuff stuff.
And sometimes it does work.
You just watch the clips on YouTube of all the deaths of Game of Thrones, and you have it on repeat.
Especially that weenie prince getting the spear through the face last episode.
The pole arm to the back of the head. That's edgy, bro.
Like, this will end poorly for you.
Yeah, that's not good. You know, the deaths, I feel like, used to be a little bit more gruesome. You know, people getting stabbed in the eye. The one where they put the blade in their kind of their shoulder and go straight down, that's so awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The spear through the face was pretty bad.
It was bad, but I was kind of expecting it, and you could tell it was fake. Some of the deaths looked pretty gnarly.
I thought we were just going to see it come through his chest, like...
Uh-huh.
But going through the face was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a whole new level.
3D.
Yeah, DVD. Fine game. Anything else? I know Randy's got a shout-out.
I do. By the time this podcast airs, the Indiegogo campaign for Bloodsucker Jones versus the Creeping Death will be live, and that means the very first teaser trailer for the movie is going to be available for the world to see on both YouTube and Vimeo and Facebook and everywhere. So check it out. Just if you have any trouble finding it, just Google Bloodsucker Jones, and I'm sure it'll come popping up on a bunch of different sites. Definitely worth checking out the trailer. It's good stuff. It's 3 minutes of pure joy. So, check it out. And if you have a few extra shekels in your pocket, feel free to throw them into our collective begging pot, because we would really love to be able to finish this movie and feed the crew in the process.
It's like Arya's pot, but it's not going to blind people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to vampire slayers.
And don't Google it. Just go to geeklation.com and search there. We'll have something up there.
Hey, even better.
We're better than Google.
What is One stop shopping, I tell you.
Huzzah!
Oh, YOLO!
No, you got something, Justin. Hit us with it.
I do?
You have to.
I said it was the alien day. I'm off tomorrow. I think that's it, man.
Nice. Tomorrow you're going to dedicate a two-hour chunk to watching the DVD commentary for Batman and Robin where Joel Schumacher just devolves into a mess.
You know, after you mentioned that, I really don't think mine has that. I think my box set is gimpy. I think I got to go out and buy like a real version of this movie.
You have to own two.
Because I'm really quite intrigued.
It's kind of depressing.
As someone who genuinely cares for this movie.
If somebody out there really wants to help out Justin and they happen to own the version of Batman and Robin that has this audio commentary track, do us a favor. Just rip an MP3. Well, just rip an MP3 of it and send that care of Justin at geeklegacy.com.
Ooh.
It's so bad, I actually felt bad for Joel Schumacher.
Oh, how sad.
I almost felt bad for all the terrible jokes that Randy and I wrote in Pink Lemonade about Joel Schumacher.
Almost felt bad.
Almost. He still put nipples on the fucking bat suit. Some things are unexcusable. What is the
apparently?
But bats are mammals, Dave. They need nips.
Yeah, but why would you put nipples on your armor?
He should have like six nips, three on each side. if we want to be so bold, I think that would be great. And maybe instead of like Joker has the flower, Batman has. He's got the nips.
even a no-talent hack like Zack Snyder was able to keep nipples off the Batsuit.
His Batsuit was badass, dude. I really, really, really like the Batsuit.
Yeah, the Dark Knight Returns looking Batman.
Mm-hmm. It looked good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of forgot that in Dark Knight Returns, Batman is a big, bulky, beefy dude.
Like,
he's very wide and very tall. And menacing, and Affleck pulled that shit off in spades.
Yeah, can't wait for his Batman standalone movie.
I started watching The Batman on Netflix. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah,
I don't like the Joker, like the look of the Joker.
Yeah, and he's all acrobatic and.
Right. But that's our buddy Kevin Richardson.
Kevin Richardson.
Ooh. Yeah.
Is it Kevin Michael Richardson? Yeah, Kevin Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Jim Cameron's buddy.
Yeah, they share a publicist.
Yeah, I watched The Batman with Luke quite a bit. And yeah, I enjoyed it. Kind of a fun
little twist on it. Was there a remake of Thundercats and was he in that too?
He was
Panthro, right? You know how we were talking about him? Like, dude, Panthro has always been a black guy, right? It was in the Cosby Show, it was Bill Cosby's dad, that was the voice of Panthro.
Really?
Yeah, and you totally hear it, too, because I was watching Cosby Show on Hulu, and he's like, oh, I don't know about that. I'm like, motherfucker, that's Panthro!
The Cosby Show's still on Hulu?
Yeah.
Wow.
I totally picked up Panthro from his voice, and it was amazing. I was like, this is awesome.
Thundercats are on the moon. Thundercats are loose.
Earl Hyman is his name.
Oh. Rival Bill Cosby in the sweater department.
He's still alive, too, by the way.
Oh, good for him. Good for him for not being dead.
Yeah, it's good.
Quite an achievement. Well.
He hasn't worked since 2001.
He might be retired, like Moranis.
Still, voice acting's got to be kind of cool. It'd be neat to show up in a video game every once in a while.
Rick Moranis better show up in Ghostbusters. It'd be like one of those surprises that we don't know about.
That would be nice. I'd be all over that.
He could be a ghost. Like Dark Helmet could be dead, like you talked about, and you had Andy Samberg being the Dark Helmet Jr. But wouldn't that be great if Rick Moranis was just a little blue ghosty for like 5 seconds and a cameo?
That would be pretty amazing.
There you go, write it down.
Come back, Rick.
It's like you can have that one for free.
Any more, first taste is free. Yeah. We're good drug dealers.
Do you have any shout-outs, Dave? We always have
shout-outs. I got nothing.
You were on the episode of Everything Geek last week, and it was fantastic. You spat out all kinds of interesting points.
I did. I talked a lot.
I had nothing to contribute to the show, and I hated everything. I was like Mr. Rod Faulkner, who normally hates everything. You are who you hang out with, I suppose. And you made some really, really interesting points, Dave. So check it out. Everything Geek, it's over on Tony Tolato's podcast feed. And you can check that shit out on Sci-Fi Talk. And it's fantastic. He posts it on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, is it up? I should check it out. I should watch my game footage there.
Man, so Blade Runner 2 is happening, by the way. That's like happening. Real.
Yeah, it's cast and everything.
I know, that's so
nice. Gosling. He's pretty, you know.
Robin Wright, too, your buddy.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
You know, so many people. Dave Bautista.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fleshed out cast. Harrison Ford will show up at the end.
But is it good?
Oh, was the first one good?
No.
Yeah, who's not in it? Sean Penn.
Oh, that's okay. What about Rutger Hauer?
No.
He was a replicant.
Do you mean Sean Young?
Yeah.
What did I say?
He said Sean Penn. Yeah.
He's not in it.
I'm like, wait a second. Was Spicoli supposed to be in this movie?
I watched Secret Life of Walter Mitty again, speaking of Sean Penn.
Oh, did you like it?
I didn't, like, the first time I watched it, I was, like, lukewarm, but I watched it again, and it's kind of like a charming movie. Like when I watched this, like, I watched it, like, a week ago or something like that, and there's, like, a charm to it that I didn't appreciate the first time I watched it. Like, the first time I watched it, I would think I was too fixated on the, like, is it real, is it not real? But when I watched it the second time, it was a legitimately charming and enjoyable film. It's still long. It's by far Ben Stiller's longest film that he's directed, but you know, there was definitely some charm to it that I really appreciated. It would be a fun, like, rainy day movie.
If only it rained in Southern California.
No, don't do that. Rain in Seattle.
No. It's been nice, but then it rained all weekend. That's a shame.
It got really hot for like 4 days, and by really hot, I mean like it was like 80s.
A scorcher. It was 80 degrees.
It was like in the 80s. Actually, I think it might have got to like the low 90s once or so, but other than that, it was so nice. It was like 70s with that nice like soft breeze.
Sure.
I remember sitting outside. I'm like, this is why our fucking house costs so much money. It's so nice to live out here.
Hey, I just thought of one more plug that I've got.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you bending over for this?
Well, bending over is optional on this one.
I'm doing it.
I almost forgot this weekend, Nonstop to Comic-Con is playing in Columbus, Ohio with the Studio 35 Comedy Film Festival. And there's going to be a Q&A afterwards with the star of the show himself, Adam Young. So that's going to be super cool. It's only $5 to get in. And, go check it out. For more information, I highly recommend following Nonstop to Comic-Con on Facebook, where we constantly update all of our show times with all the details. So check us out. It'll be fun for the whole family. Keep in mind it's PG-13 rated.
Even your dogs. Take your animals.
Take everything.
They respond well. Can I bitch about something real quick?
Yeah.
Do it.
Is this Zack Snyder related?
It's surprisingly no. DC related, but not Zack Snyder related.
Okay.
I understand that everyone's tired of me bitching about Zack Snyder.
Well, I was just thinking, because you guys said it was PG-13, and I immediately said, oh, wow, is there a Snyder cut that's going to be rated R?
There should be.
What? DC?
The fucking Flash, man. Like, I hate it when they take the powers away from the superheroes. Like, I watch The Flash because I want to watch The Flash. I don't want to watch Barry Allen without his fucking super speed.
Right. It's like with Heroes when they took away everybody's powers when that eclipse was happening.
Yeah, and it's so dumb, and I understand, like, in their heads they want to be like, to show he's, like, a hero even when he doesn't have his powers. I get it. I don't give a fuck. I know he is a hero without his powers, but I want to see him in his powers. And, you know, they all superhero shows do it at one point, but, like, they usually are, like, Smallville did it. If they're usually decent enough to, like, make it, like, one episode. Like, 10 minutes into the episode, something happens. You lose your powers. You got a half hour without your powers, and you get your powers back at the end. But the fucking Flash doesn't have his powers back yet.
And
it's upsetting.
It had to be more poignant. You know, it had to mean something for him to make the conscious choice to give up his powers.
Everybody told him it was a bad idea.
Everyone told him it was a bad idea to go inside and fight Zoom to open up the rift, and then he's like, "Nah, I got this."
Yeah.
Then now they're all sitting around saying, "I told you so."
Yeah.
Was it worth it, Barry?
Yeah, the whole episode this week, he didn't have his powers, and there's no sign of him having getting his powers back anytime soon. Wells is on the case, but how fucking long is that going to take?
Does that mean you watched tonight's episode already?
I watched tonight's episode already, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if he was going to get it back by the end of the episode, but the whole point, because I rarely ever watch, like, regular TV, but I was over at my dad's house earlier in the week, and he was watching something on Channel 5 at, like, middle of the afternoon, and they were showing promos for The Flash, and it was just, like, all this sad Hulk music while he's, like, sitting on public transit and doing this and doing that and all slow and just being all awkward, and I thought, this is a really interesting direction that they're taking it. I really hope that they don't, that he's not without his power for too long, and from the sound of it, looks like we're going to be stuck there for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get his speed back, like, next episode, it's a problem.
Yeah.
He's going to have a bad time.
Yeah, he's going to have a bad time.
I will say I have it on pretty good authority that within the next 2 or 3 episodes, he'll definitely have his speed back.
Oh, my God. If it's 3 episodes, oh, my God.
I mean, obviously, he's going to get his speed back, so that's not a big shocker there.
That's the twist. It's going to be the Flash without speed.
He's so slow.
Oh my God, I don't think I can handle it more than, like,
I don't watch them anymore. I don't watch any of these shows anymore.
Oh, really?
I gave up, yeah.
You didn't watch The Flash?
I watched last week's Flash when he lost his powers, when he faced Zoom, and then I decided I was done with it.
So for you, that's how the series ends. Zoom wins.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's actually not a bad way to go.
I am literally done with all these CW shows. I was such a big fan of all of them, and I loved them all and told everybody to watch them. And now I am literally sick of them. I think my taste has just changed. You know they say every 7 years your taste change? Yeah. I think I'm just on my cycle. I'm done with this shit.
It could be.
I am literally only interested in video games these days. And movies. But TV shows, forget about it. I don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine anymore. That was one of my favorite shows. Don't watch it anymore. I haven't laughed forever in Modern Family. This whole season I thought it sucked. This lad, the one with the Christian rock band, though, that made me laugh. I thought that one was funny. Yeah.
So when's the last? So you stopped watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine like recently, or?
Last one I saw was with when there was a hostage situation. They got to play Die Hard in the department store.
Oh, like, you haven't.
That was like a Christmas.
So you haven't seen it since Rafi from The League joined?
No, I have not seen him.
Oh,
on the show.
It's kind of pretty funny. So yeah, Rafi from The League joined, and he's basically Rafi as a cop.
I like it.
Like he was like undercover for like 17 years in like this like super hardcore mafia, and so like he's just like the worst, and like him and Diaz like have this weird relationship, and it's so funny.
Oh, maybe I'll catch up with it then.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. But yeah, I still like The Flash. Arrow, I'm over Arrow, and I still haven't even started whatever, Legends of Tomorrow. I still have all like 13 episodes recorded.
Yeah, I haven't started that either. I don't know what to watch anymore. I'm so lost when it comes to TV. Like, yeah, nothing's grabbing me right now.
Yeah, and like I'm out of shit to watch on Netflix for like movie, like, because I want to watch movies. I'm not really a TV guy, but like in Netflix, I've watched like every movie on Netflix.
I know.
Like just like scrolling through shit, I'm like, what do I want to watch? And I'm like, oh, I've seen all this fucking.
That's why
shit.
I started watching the Batman, and I started watching all those Justice League movies.
Yeah,
I watched Justice League versus Teen Titans the other day.
That was good.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not feeling it. I got problems.
Have you watched Justice League animated series yet?
No, it's on my list though.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And it turns to Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, I saw that. And there's like three seasons of that or something like that.
It's on my to-do.
The only episode I ever watched was the one where Batman has a contingency plan to stop all of them. Yeah. And then it actually ends up getting loose, and then they lose trust of him when they find out that it was all his doing. He's like, what do you expect, man? I don't got powers. I got to be able to take you fuckers down.
It's like, you're like a god from another planet. I got a backup plan.
Yeah, and he basically calls them assholes for not having a plan to take him down.
Yeah, it's like, what, you don't have a plan to take me down? He's like, yeah, I do. I shoot you with my heat ray.
Done. Problem solved. And then, Randy, are you still watching Vikings? Because everyone loves that show, and I don't hear you talk about it anymore.
I have not watched any of this season. I think maybe one episode of the season, but I've got a shitload of it on my DVR. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Okay. See, I'm not watching that. I'm not watching Star Wars Rebels. I'm not watching anything.
Well, Rebels is done for the season.
No, I know, but I mean, I didn't watch it when it was on, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, just do it at your own pace. Do it at the pace that makes you happy.
Yeah. Maybe it is the binge thing. Maybe Netflix ruined me. Oh, and speaking of which, Daredevil. I loved Punisher, but I didn't like anything else about the entire season.
I haven't even fucking started it.
I thought Punisher was fantastic, but when it ended, I was like, eh.
I finally just finished that this weekend.
Yeah, see? And with Jessica Jones, I watched it from start to finish in like a day.
Daredevil, I just
couldn't get into it.
I watched the first episode of Jessica Jones, loved it, and just haven't returned.
Oh, that's too bad.
And same thing with Daredevil. I liked the first season. I just haven't been able to, like, I haven't been motivated to, like, watch them. Mm. It's weird. I know once I do, I'll, like, probably absorb them in, like, a day.
Right.
Because I usually watch them at work while I'm doing stuff. Like, I watch Netflix or something. But, yeah, I just haven't been motivated to watch much of anything. Clearly, I've watched too much shit, I guess.
Maybe overstimulation.
It's the calm before the storm of summer movie releases.
Maybe that's it. It all starts next week.
With Civil Warcraft?
Civil War.
Oh. Civil Warcraft?
I already forgot about Civil War. I'm excited for it, don't get me wrong. I can't wait. I'm there. I'm in line.
Yeah.
But
as it outgrosses Batman v Superman in like 1 week?
Yeah. Hardcore, man. That's gonna be nuts. That's just gonna blow up.
Well, and it's funny too. If it's as good as like people are saying it is, like Captain America will be like the marquee franchise from Marvel over like Iron Man.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. But I mean, Marvel is no stranger to having cameos in that sort of thing. Like in the comic books, it's they're always running into superheroes. You know, most of these take place in New York City, which is filled with a million superheroes, so they cross paths on a regular basis.
And that's why it's the safest city in the world.
Pretty much, at this point, right?
It should be. I didn't like that they announced that they revealed that Robert Downey Jr. was going to be in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, in Homecoming. He's going to be his hot date.
Yeah, so it kind of, I mean, we all know the Civil War ends with like a prominent death, and it's not Iron Man, but it could have been Iron Man, just because we know that Robert Downey Jr. is kind of like, I'm kind of over this shit.
Ooh, maybe we'll get an Iron Spider-Man, though.
That's what they're saying.
Be pretty cool.
I'll take it.
It was a bummer that Keaton backed out. Michael Keaton was going to be the villain, and he backed out.
He was going to be a goblin?
Probably.
A rhino?
Like an Electro?
Oh,
With his dubstep?
Spider-Man. Dude, that's $150. I knew I should have bought it. That fucking thing on Amazon is $150 now.
Yeah, you're just talking
asshole.
About it.
You owe me $150.
That thing is so fucking ugly.
I swear to God, I'm so mad that I don't own this shit. God, that makes me so mad.
I was bummed that it went up. I was waiting for it to go to like $30, and I was gonna buy it for you.
Fuck, I want it on my mantle, and it's not there. I don't have any nerdy shit in my living room, and I want that there. There's only one left in stock, Dave. Buy now, $149.99.
I better get on that.
If you love me, you will get it. minus the $40 I was gonna pay for it.
Electro.
Anyway,
easily the worst comic book villain in the history of comic books.
Who? Electro?
Electro. Worse than Mr. Freeze and Bane.
Really? Was he?
He was. He was a villain because Spider-Man didn't go to his birthday party.
Well, he's a crazy person. He was crazy before the accident. He thought he was friends with Spider-Man. Yeah.
If your trigger is that Spider-Man didn't come to your birthday party, you're not a good villain. Just saying. Spider-Man didn't come to my birthday
but
party.
But in his mind, that was the end of the world for him.
I was going to get Neapolitan ice cream. I heard it's his favorite.
They say never meet your heroes.
I guess. I was going to give me a funfetti cake.
And that's true. That is true. Never meet your heroes. Although, if I had a bad run-in once with a guy that I really thought was so funny, and then I just fucking met him, and he was an asshole.
Was it me?
No, you're fantastic. I want you inside me, Dave.
Cool. I can be there in a couple hours.
But I'm not even going to name names, because I'm better than that, but...
Yeah.
God, this guy was a fucking dick. But whatever.
Was it L. Ron Hubbard?
No. I was like, here, sign your book. Sign Dianetics. He's like, wait, I'm dead. I'm like, oh. I didn't think Scientologists believed in that shit.
I didn't pay enough money. I tried to read Dianetics once. It didn't go well.
Yeah. It's like the book of the recently diseased.
Reads like stereo instructions.
Why can't he read? Is there a reason why he's illiterate in that movie? Like, I don't get that funny joke.
Like, but it's funny.
It's kind of funny, right? Like, maybe he's mentally disabled, or just it's like a message of adult literacy is a big thing in that era. I don't know. I don't get it.
Man, Beetlejuice is
good. It's just so weird. It's just a funny joke.
It's always, you know, I always watch it on TV, and it's always like partway through. And so whenever I see it from the beginning, it's always weird to see him like in like the real world.
Mm-hmm.
When they're still alive.
And that lady's trying to sell her house, even though they're not even moving. Who does that?
Gotta go to the hardware store. Gotta get the paint.
Yeah.
Stupid dog kills him.
Mm-hmm. There are no stupid dogs. Dogs are great.
Anyways, thank you guys for listening to another fun episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. If you liked what you heard, tell your friends, tell your mom, and rate us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars so people can find us and be like, hey, these assholes are pretty damn good. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. And if you survive this episode, what's the hashtag today? Like,
your face.
Hashtag your face. Give us a hashtag your face that you finished this episode. And make sure you go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And we'd be super happy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.